As you're sitting down, let's pray together. Father, this is a fitting song for us today. That when we experience a loss for words, we know that you are holy. And God, there's a number of reasons why we might be at a loss for words. Whether it's something that's going on directly in our lives today, whatever that may be, that can leave us at a loss for words, whether it's pain, hurt, heartache, sorrow, you name it, it could be any of those things, and they leave us kind of lost. And they leave us speechless. And God, in the silence and in the speechlessness, God, will you hear the cry of our heart? We know that we have a mediator, we have a great high priest in Jesus that speaks for us, that cries out for us. And we know that to be true, and we allow and ask that there would be that go-between. For us personally in these moments, whatever that might be. But we also know, Lord, that there are reasons that are beyond us, that are outside of our personal space, that makes us be at a loss for words. I know, Lord, that it's been a week since the hurricane has hit Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, all of those states, Lord, and the destruction and the devastation has been enormous. And we pause for a moment in our loss for words and just ask God that you would be with the people there. That in the moments where comfort is needed, God, that you would give it. And the moment where people can jump in and help out, Lord, that they would have the ability and the wherewithal to be able to help. God, and I pray that we would know exactly what to do and how we might be able to help. It might take us a little bit, but that's okay. There's going to be opportunities for us to help. And they may come down the road, but what we know, God, is that you are sovereign, that you are the Lord who sees all things. And we pray for the people that are being affected by it. God, we also know that a year ago this weekend, there was a major thing that happened in our world in Israel. And a year ago, Lord, things still haven't changed. If anything, they've ramped up in that country. And along with that and the devastation in Ukraine, God, these things that are happening across the world, they're not new to you. But they hurt and they're hard and they're difficult. God, we don't like to think about a year-long conflict and war. But what we do know that in the midst of it all, that you are God. That you are the God who loves, you are the God who knows, and you are the God who sees. And God, I pray that there would be a soon resolution to these conflicts, whatever they may be. For the right reasons and for the right ways, God. So, Lord, will you be who you are, God of love, God of mercy, the righteous one of heaven. And may we just know that we can trust all things through you, because you, Father, are trustworthy. And thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus, the high priest, that speaks on our behalf, that loves us so much that he would go to a cross for us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that speaks to us even still, that guides us, that reminds us of your presence and fills us with the very essence of who you are speaking to us. God, thank you. And as we hear your word today, as we worship you and celebrate this Sunday, God, will you just be high and lifted up, because you are worthy. You are worthy. And we pray all these things in your Son's glorious name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all here today. We have a thing that's a QR code that you can utilize at any point in time today. They're around about across the church. You can see it up on the screen. If I slow down far enough, you can scan it with your phone, but that would be a little bit of a tricky one, but that's okay. We have a few things that we just want to remind you about, because we have we've got a busy week ahead of us as far as just normal ministry things happening in the church, and so we want to remind you about a couple of things. We've been doing an outreach opportunity for anybody that has been interested, that is called the Warm Winter, and we're receiving hats, gloves, and things of that nature to keep kids at Nixon Elementary warm during the winter months. And today's kind of the last day to receive those items. If you have brought them in already, thank you. Thank you so much, because that's going to be a huge blessing to our friends at Nixon Elementary. But then also, if you hadn't quite brought them in yet, you can do so over the next couple of days, or you can bring them next week. That's not a problem. The tub might be gone, but just make sure that we're aware that you brought something in. That would be just fine. This week is a big week, as I've been talking about. We have life groups that are continuing on this week. We have other things that are happening, and one of the items that is happening is that this Wednesday at 6 o'clock is going to be our grab and go meals. And so that's for families that bring kids to Hope Kids and to youth group. 6 o'clock meal, come and eat. All families are welcome for that. And then at 6:30, we'll have our Hope Kids and our youth ministry meeting and going through their studies and their groups as well. And then parents group is going to be meeting as well at 6:30. So moms and dads, when you bring your kids, don't leave. Stick around. Have a life group and be a part of that study that's going on. We don't want you to miss out on that. Another thing that we talked about last week and we received last week, but we want to give you another opportunity, that if we have talked about our faith promise giving, and that is how we fund our missionaries from year to year. And we've received faith promises for the next 7 months. And if you weren't able to participate last week, you can do so today, right back at the tithing box, which is just right behind the sanctuary. You can get a card, you can put it right in the tithing box and take care of it today if that is, if you're so inclined to do that. We had a really good reception of faith promise giving last week. It was around 13,000. I get that number right for the next 7 months, and so that's great. That puts us right in line for what we're looking for as far as funding our missionaries. But if you're still interested in helping out, we would gladly accept that. And so, thank you so much. Next Saturday, there's an event that is happening at Barry's Barn that is out towards Mount Vernon, and it's an opportunity for you to hear some good music, enjoy some food, and just enjoy company with one another. That's taking place next Saturday from 5 to 7, and it's going to be fun. The Hubcaps are a great band that play a wide variety of music, and Jim Appleby, our own very own Jim Appleby, will be thumping on the bass guitar. I just made that up. I don't know if that's even a thing. Can I say that type of terminology? Okay, good. Musical stuff is not my thing at all. So anyways, that's happening. And if you have any questions, you can ask Jim, you can ask Sherry Plow or myself. And if we don't know, we'll find out the answers for you. But it is going to be a good evening that night. Just to get on your calendars, families, one more time over the next couple of weeks, we'll be reminding you, but the Hope Kids Open, which is Family Night is taking place on Wednesday, October 23rd. It is going to be a fun night for our Hope Kids families, our youth families, and you just want to be there, and it's going to be fun. People are building just miniature golf holes, and you families, you don't want to miss it, so make sure that you're aware of it. If you have thought about building a hole, but you haven't communicated to Andrea Brown, do so today. Okay, today. I would tell you get up and go talk to her right now, but that would interrupt our flow, so don't do that. Just refrain yourself, okay? But let her know as soon as possible, just in case you haven't done so already. Well, we have an opportunity for us to worship God today, and I know that God's got some words for you today that he wants to speak, and so families, kids are with us today, so that's an opportunity for you all to be in worship together. So let me just pray for our opportunity of worship and our sermon today, and then we'll jump into our message. Father, may our ears be open to what you want to speak to us today. May our eyes see where you're taking us, and may we be willing to accept the challenges that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There were two little children who rode a school bus to school every day in the big city. They lived next door to a big church in a crowded neighborhood. Their mother, worried that one day something might go wrong and they might get lost. She wrote down their address and directions and gave it to each child with the instructions, "If you get lost, show this to some adult." After several weeks, the unthinkable happened. Somehow the children were put off the bus in the wrong neighborhood. Things were worse when they realized that they didn't have their slip of paper with their address and directions. And the youngest, the little boy, began to cry. We're going to pick up that story at the end of our message today. But what I would love for you to do, if you have your Bible, open it up to John 14:6. That's where we're going to just camp out today, in that verse. Jesus, in his life, made some pretty astounding statements during his life and ministry. Paraphrasing John Stott, Jesus talks about how he set himself apart from everyone else, that he was a moral authority all on his own, and how Jesus was the central figure of all history. This is John Stott speaking, that Jesus was the central figure in all history, savior and judge of all humankind. I mean, if can you imagine being present when someone says the things that Jesus did, some of the things that Jesus said? Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the gate." And then John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Can you imagine hearing those words in Jesus' time? No one comes to the Father except through me. I could only imagine that the religious leaders at that point in time were like, "Huh? What? No way." I could imagine with some sarcasm, they would say, "Yeah, you are. Prove it." But this single statement, this single powerful statement, causes controversy, and yet at the same point in time, it has the power to encourage many. Because it is such a dynamic statement that Jesus makes. It's either extremely arrogant or it's true. Either it's something that we can ignore or it's something that we can believe in. We're picking up in the middle of this sermon series that we've been focusing in on some of the characteristics of God throughout Scripture. And then we turned our attention to characteristics about Jesus. And this is week number two as we talk about Jesus is. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is it about this statement that is so powerful? It is interpreted as being both an inclusive and exclusive statement. It makes people think. It makes you and I think. It challenges us to really consider what we might think about Jesus and who he really is. And honestly, this statement and bothers people. It stirs controversy because it seems as if this verse causes problems in how they think about their own life, their future. And when we have a statement such as this from Jesus, it causes us to think about life after death, eternity, heaven. And Jesus has been, in the context of this verse, has been in conversation with his disciples. And it seems as if Jesus is attempting to bring comfort to his disciples in the early verses of John 14. But even before that, Jesus warns the disciples, tells them that his death is coming. And he talks about a betrayal. He talks about a denial. And that there's been a load of bad news leading up to this. And he is bringing some encouragement to this beleaguered group, telling them about our Father's house that is in heaven, that many dwelling places there, a beautiful, beautiful picture to be sure. And when we boil all of this down, one of the basic things that Jesus is talking about is a relationship with God. And one of the reasons why it's so controversial is because we have lived in a world that has been conditioned almost to look at world religions, and this may not be true of the church, but certainly across culture, that we assume that this religion and that religion and this religion all start at the base of the mountain, and each one of them will get to the summit somehow, some way. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And when we hear those, we're like, well, hold on. But doesn't every other religion teach the same thing? So if they're all teaching the same thing, how does one impact the other? And how do we see this and how do we see that? And it causes us to wonder, what do we do with this? Jesus gets people to think about what they believe and what they hold to be true. Humanity is wired with a longing to figure out and discover the supernatural, to fill the void that we have in our hearts and in our soul because of the damaging effect of the fall and the entrance of sin into the world. And I believe that we are supposed to find and build a relationship with the I am God of the Bible. And this causes questions of, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get to heaven? How does a person get there? And Jesus is simple when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Now, for the rest of our conversation today, we're going to look at these three items of way, truth, and life, but we're going to do it in a backwards reverse order. So we're going to start with the life. I know pastors like to do weird things like that, but that's where we're at today. The life. This word, life, in the Greek can be understood in two ways. First, the very physical sense of life, that is the life that we live, the very nature of our existence, the things we do, the ins, the outs, life, ups and downs, all of it. And the second understanding of this word is that the supernatural life that is given to believers by God. So it's the eternal life. It's a both and context. And the life that is lived here and now, and the life that is lived when our eyes are closed on this earth and the existence with God begins. And each understanding is imperative for us today. The physical life that we live in the future and the life that we live matters. And Jesus is talking about both. He boldly states that he is the life. The source of physical life that we live here and now, and the source of future life in heaven. And one of the biggest lies that our culture wants to tell us is that being a person who follows after Jesus has no life, that they just have a religious background that tells them what they can and cannot do, the limits of things, of what they can and cannot do. And so therefore, it's boring, it's void of fun and uneventful. And somebody might be saying, yep, that's exactly what it is. And I would say, nah, I have more fun now than I ever have in my entire life because I follow a God that is full of life. John said in 10:10, John 10:10, he said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is pointing to an exceedingly full life, both in the physical sense and the internal sense. It's a both and. Jesus himself is the very embodiment of life. According to John 1:3-4, it says, through him, all things were made. Let me say that again. Through him, John 1:3-4, the very beginnings of this great gospel says, through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing is made that has been made, and in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus is life. And really, when we get down to it, there is no life apart from him. The very life that everybody breathes and is experiencing in their lives right now is because of Jesus, and it's through Jesus. Colossians 1:15-17 tells us, and here I just need to let you know, normally I put all the verses up on the screen, but I just wanted you guys to focus on these words alone and nothing else today, okay? So that's why I did that, and you might be thinking, well, where are all these verses, Pastor Chopper? You didn't have them for us. That's why. This is just the important ones. Okay, hold on. Time out. All the other verses are important. All of them are, but for today's conversation, that's key, okay? Key, that's the better word, key. We just finished a huge study in Colossians, right? And you guys are going to be tired of me talking about Colossians, but I love Colossians. Chapter 1:15-17 says, the Son, speaking about Jesus. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is the beginning of all things, and in him all things hold together. So what do we know about this Jesus that we love and that we worship? He is the created one, the invisible, an image of the invisible God, and through him all things that were created through him, by him, whether visible or invisible. He is the life. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is the one that God wants us to know, and that he is life, and life is in him. And if we don't have an understanding of that, that he is the life, we're setting ourselves short when we talk with other people, when we communicate with other people about what matters most. So is Jesus your life? Is he the one that you turn back to at different stages of your life, different days of your life, so that you are focused in on him? What matters most in your life? When you wake up in the morning, what are you thinking about? When you wake up from your nap, what are you thinking about? I'm assuming that everybody takes a nap. When you do anything, what is your focus? Is it him, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who died on the cross for us? Or is it something else? And there's a number of ways in which we can check to see, a little gut check in our lives on what we, how we can define what matters most. One, it can be our calendar. Two, it can be our checkbook or our banking account. For those young people that don't know what a checkbook is. It can be even drawn to the time that we spend on these electronics, phones, iPads, computers. Jesus is the life, and life is in him. And the question is are we really putting him as our life? Part two, the truth. Pilate asked this question, what is truth, before Jesus went to the cross? Truth is something that has been attempted to be understood throughout history and continues to be something that we still talk about today. And it's one of the great philosophical questions of all time. What is truth? Is there absolute truth? What type of truth are we talking about? Whose truth? My truth? Your truth? Anybody's truth? What type of truth are we really talking about? And, you know, this is just a pet peeve of mine, but when someone says, well, this is my truth, no, it's not. It's not. Truth is not yours to behold. It is Jesus's. It is God's. It is his truth. This is the truth of all. It may be your understanding of the world, but your truth is not the truth. Six blind men were wondering what it was like to find out what an elephant is. And since they were blind, they needed to actually physically touch this huge, massive elephant. And so the first blind person touched the legs of the elephant and came to the conclusion that an elephant is like a big pillar or a tree, straight, round, long, and strong with thick skin. And the second one touched the tail of the elephant and came to the conclusion that an elephant is like a rope with a brush at the end and can move right and left very easily in the air. And the third man touched the ear of the elephant and said, an elephant is like a flat animal, like a hand fan. The fourth man had touched only the trunk of the elephant and said, no. An elephant is like a snake, which, how do we know he knew what a snake was? Or a tree branch, rough on the surface and hollow inside. And the fifth man, who had touched the belly, said, the elephant is like a big wall, but with curves here and there. And the sixth man, who had touched only the tusk of the elephant, said, an elephant is like a pipe or a spear and very strong. Can you see what the problem is here? After they found that they had a disagreement, they went to a man who could see and had actually seen the elephant and looked at it. And each of them explained their side of the story, six different perspectives of what is an elephant. And the person said, well, you're all right. You're all right. You're all correct. The elephant has all of those features that you've explained, but it is that and so much more. Truth is similar. It can be understood in different ways as dependability, uprightness, and maybe even better understood when it's put in contrast to untruth or falsehood or deceitfulness or misinformation. Truth is the opposite, but we knew that, didn't we? But when we get to the basics of truth, there is more to it than there is to the eyes. Truth is more complex, and at the same time, it's also simple. But Jesus, John says in chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This passage, this little tiny phrase, talks about how Moses was given and brought the law and the commands to the people of God, and that these laws and what these laws did was they provided a source of order to their livelihood, a structure to who they were as a people, how they lived, how they ordered their lives, their worship, and their communities. And that is God's word. God's word, His law, was their truth. Their law was their wisdom, and it represented their theological understandings of who God is and what God represented. And in the very nature of the law, it became heavy. It became a burden to keep, and it became so much to bear that the law was bound to be broken, and the law itself was not perfection. It was the source to be looked at when you had questions. It was a guide for the work we did. It was a guide for worship. It was a guide for existence. But the law itself was only but a mere shadow of what was to come. And yet, people cling to their view of truth, their own version of how things should be or should not be, and it's led to confusion, distrust, struggles, heartache, and distancing between us and God. Because we focus not on the source of truth, that is Jesus. And abandoning of truth has led to sin and separation. And Jesus steps onto the scene and he says, I am the truth. He is the true representation of God. He is God in the flesh, as God's word was and is the truth. Jesus is exactly that. And because he is the truth, he is the answer to the question. He is the compass that points north. He is the reality of our moral guidance. He is the object of our worship. He is the structure of our work week. He is the order of our community, and he's the wisdom that we should have in our heart. You have questions that need answered, and Jesus is the one who answers them. Why does it matter? Because Jesus is the truth. Why should we care? Jesus answers, my truth matters. His truth alone. We have concerns. We have things that we struggle with. We have anxieties. We are concerned about our children, our spouses, our parents, our siblings, our work, our livelihood, our future. And it's it's mine. Things that we struggle with. But my question for you is that when you are experiencing these things, when you are struggling, when you have concerns, when you have anxieties, when you have difficulties going on in your life with your spouse, with your family, with your children, with your job, with all of that, those things, where are you going for the truth of what really matters? Are you going to Jesus, or are you going to someone else? Are you going to Jesus, or are you going to Facebook to find someone who else thinks like you so that you can hear what they have to say? Or are you going to X and figuring out what this person has to say about this issue in the world, and then basing all your beliefs on other people's viewpoints instead of what Jesus has to say about the greatest social issues of our time? To be quite honest, we do that way too much. We're going to find out what other people have to say about certain issues. And if I need to get getting a little fired up here, if we need to get a little bit specific about these things, let's do it. Let's talk about when we talk about where we're going for our basic views about world social issues. We are not going to the Word of God like we should, and we're getting other people's viewpoints for these issues, and we are not listening to the Word of God. You name the issue. And if we don't go to the source of truth first, we've distorted it all. You name the issue. War? Politics? Death and destruction? Views of homosexuality and abortion and all of these things? If we are not going to Scripture first, we're not getting God's point of view. Because nobody's talking about God's point of view. I'm on X, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. And not all of them are talking about God's perspective first. You have to dig a little bit. But let me tell you where to dig first. Here. God's word, his truth, has the perspective that we need. And if you want to dig a little bit deeper into that, I would love to have a conversation with you. Because the point of the matter is that we are looking for truth all the time. And people are looking for truth. And we have to be able to point them in the right direction when we have those conversations. And people, if we're not pointing them back to the truth, we are doing them a disservice. We are. Jesus has to be the source for our truth. Jesus has to be where we turn to for truth. Not the, all the other stuff. So is he where you turn for truth? Last one, I am the way. In the surrounding verses, Jesus has been talking about heaven, and Jesus indicates that he himself is the path, the road, the way to heaven. And please do not miss this. Jesus wasn't necessarily a trailblazer, because this was not a concept that Jesus had cut a path, cut the branches, cut the brush to clear a path to heaven. No, it's better than that. Jesus is saying that he is the way. He's the road. He is the path. He is the one. He's not trailblazing. He's the one. He is it. And so we trust in him. We follow him. We know that he is the way. Through Jesus, heaven becomes a reality and eternity becomes a possibility. Life with God forever is truly something that can happen because of Jesus. Jesus is the way of the new covenant. The old covenant is made new through Jesus. And the images of the Old Testament are made new. No longer is the cloud in the wilderness and the pillar of fire at night leading the way for the Israelites. Instead, the light that is written about in John chapter 1, Jesus, the light of life, is this light, the way. Jesus is the way in the wilderness and leads to the promised land that is eternity with God. No longer is the way of the old sacrificial system the way to God. This has been made new in Jesus. No longer is constant bloodshed and of unblemished animals the way of redemption. But Jesus' sinless body was ripped, and his shed blood on the cross is the blood of the new covenant that covers our sins. It was shed once and for all through Jesus. His blood is the way of redemption. No longer is the high priest the mediator for us, but we have a new high priest, that is Jesus, that we talked about last week. And by his own blood, he mediates for us. No longer is the veil that's in the temple covering the Holy of Holies, but the veil was torn when Jesus cried his last and breathed his last, and the veil was torn. Why is it that Jesus is the only way? Because he's the very embodiment of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Holy One of Israel, the perfect sacrifice. His shed blood pays the penalty for our sin. The cross is the symbol for our freedom. He himself, Jesus, is the way. There's no other way, no other path, no other road that leads to God. The world will want us to say that all religions end up at the same place, as I've already talked about. And each one of those other religions gives you things that you must do to attain heaven, things that you must accomplish. Go on a pilgrimage, use a prayer wheel, earn the favor of God in specific ways, pray in specific ways, give to the poor, struggle and strive, and go through a series of reincarnations. It's all these things that you do that merit you and you achieve that leads to God. But Jesus, our Lord, but Jesus is God that is reaching out to us. Because of the Father's love for us, Jesus offers himself as our substitute, because we could not do anything to attain heaven because of our sin. But Jesus died in our place. And we receive his sacrifice on our behalf. We become united with God for eternity. Jesus is the way. There is no other way. There is no other way. He said, I am the way . Thomas Akempis, a writer from yesteryear, says this in a book that is titled The Imitation of Christ, and he's writing it as if Jesus is saying these words. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way which you must follow, the truth which you must trust, the life for which you must hope. I am the way inviolable, the truth infallible, the life imperishable. I am the straight way, the superior truth, the truest life, the blessed life, the uncreated life. If you abide in my ways, you shall know the truth, and the truths shall make you free, and you shall lay hold of eternal life. I love the last phrase, where it says, if you abide in my way, you shall know the truth, and the truths shall make you free, and you shall hold on to eternal life. This is what it all boils down to. This is what it all comes down to, is our responsibility to remain in Jesus. Our responsibility to follow Jesus and to know that he is the truth. And when we recognize that he is the truth, he will make us free and we will hold on to eternal life. Folks, it's not just about knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life, but it's actually believing it and living it out. Living it out. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through him. Through him. All eternity goes through Jesus. It flows from Jesus, and it is in him. Coming back to the story that I shared at the beginning of the message, the little boy begins to cry, and the little girl got a sudden burst of inspiration. She grabbed her little brother by the hand and bravely walked several miles through the city streets, turning corners with deliberateness. She was intent on finding her way home. When she finally made it back home, her mother was nearly out of her mind. How did you find your way back? She asked. The little girl said, well, we live next to such a big, great, big church with a great big cross on the top. I just walked toward the cross and made it home. Here's the key in all of this. We walk towards the cross because we know it is the way. We walk towards the cross because we know it is the truth. And we walk towards the cross because we know it brings life. We began this thing talking about relationship. Relationship. The number one relationship that we should have in our lives is with Jesus. The person sitting next to you, they're awesome. They're fantastic. Brother, sibling, friend, spouse, parent, they're amazing. But they are not the primary relationship in your life. Let me say that again. They are amazing, but they are not the primary relationship in your life. And that may cause a little bit of a stir in your heart. Your relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship. We all want to hear the words of Jesus when we face him. It says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Those are the words we want to hear. We hear those words because we know him, and he's the primary relationship. What we don't want to hear is, "Turn away from me. I never knew you." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." Father, we need these reminders every now and then. We need these reminders to not just get our minds back right and get ourselves focused, but we need these reminders to recalibrate, I guess. A little gut check. We also need these reminders because we need to know how we can interact with other people and how we should help others to know who you are and the truth and the nature of your sacrifice so that we could have a relationship with you. God, will you give us the wisdom that we need? Will you speak to each one of us? And today, Lord, if there's something that we need to do differently in our lives, will you convict us of this, Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, will you speak and let it be a resounding voice that kind of says, "Okay, you heard this. Now, what are you going to do about it?" And will it just not go away until we make some decisions and some choices to do what we're supposed to do, God? God, we need to live our lives to glorify you. We need to know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and we need to live that out. Will you strengthen us? Will you guide us? Will you show us what to do? God, thank you. We love you. We worship you. And we're grateful, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to close out our time with worship. So let's sing together.